Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Do I sound happy? Because I'm not! Alright, because you all know what's going on right now. We are still processing this crap piece of news that we got, and I'm mad, and I'm not the Persona fan! What's going on here? Okay, calming down. Calming down. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is our actual Persona fan, Warrior Will.
I know this is a very cliche joke now, but I really did not see this coming.
No.
And on one hand, this could be either be the greatest thing ever. On the other hand,
they played us like a damn fiddle.
I saw that meme on the internet when it got announced. Oh gosh. All right, and Tellius Tyler's here too.
This was so depressing to me when I saw the news roll through.
Yeah.
I mean, for Will, I was like, okay, good for him because he's already played Persona 5.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the people like Todd and I, and it makes me wonder why they didn't just bring a Shin Megami Tensei character to Smash. I mean, I get
there
the Joker's more recognizable, but we are still getting Shin Megami Tensei 5 exclusively, as far as we know.
It's we are.
Exclusive
we are.
To Switch. Well, I mean, yeah, but it could change. It could change. Probably won't, but it could.
Yeah.
I just feel so slighted by Atlas that I wouldn't put it past them.
So
this was just depressing.
Yeah, so this went from a piece of news to this is going to be our main event now. We're going to break down what the heck is going on with this Persona 5 scramble crap. But we got a lot to talk about today, including some interesting news that literally just broke across our screens. But we're going to get started with, what have you been playing? And I'll go first because... I've obviously been playing Tetris 99 because it feels so good to be back into this, and I'm not going to lie. Still haven't won yet, but it took me forever to get the first win and then the second win. But Tyler, you still haven't gotten a win, have you?
No, I haven't. I've stopped playing, so, I got to say.
That's all right. You've been busy. But the other thing I have been playing is Splatoon, baby! And you could say that our victory was by a hair.
I was about to say.
Yep. Well, guys, come on. Give me my praise. Hop to it. Come on.
I mean, good job, Todd. Really proud of you.
Here's the thing. For you, Tyler, especially, I'm going to razz you because the last few times you've lost – okay, I'm sorry. The last several times you've lost, which is now a magnificent losing streak.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe – I think you're actually doing the Thanos diet. You know, the everything is balanced.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So but because Tyler has said in his last series of losses where my team and oftentimes Will's team, we always had the popular vote. So you would always say that, you know, the better team was the one with the lesser people, and then those lesser people weren't playing it as much because they had better things to do. Now you can't say that because it was Team Turtle that had the popular vote by like 12%, and you still lost. So, fuck it.
I stand by that assessment, though. Just because so many people recognize how great Turtles are doesn't mean that the better players haven't moved on, you know? It's really, we're looking at the skill level first, you know, like the most skilled players that aren't the pros are probably, they moved on. Like people like me, for example, extremely skilled, elite talents, and they just were like, you know what, I'm done with this game, I gotta go in and play something else, and they, you know, they didn't come back for this one. You hate to see it, you really do, but it happened.
Such whining and excuses. I mean, dear gosh, man.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Did Will play Splatoon this weekend?
I have. I'm pretty sure you can check on my side as well. I have reached up the Turtle King level. And I was just really surprised regarding to the whole, like, in regarding to normal and the pro league. Because, again, in the normal league, you pretty much cinched up by a good solid 3%. While in the pro league, we were only just, like, missing almost to the point of, like, 0.87% roughly around that
something
win.
Like
point,
that, yeah.
0.1 per, less than 0.1%. So, yep. Yeah, it's like, you really was won by a little hair of
by
a percentage.
By a hair.
Yes. Yes, and
I was
going to
say,
if
Will didn't play, then you know that skilled players aren't playing anymore.
He played.
I played. Did you not listen to me?
No, I did, but I'm just disappointed in you. You should have done better for us.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez, now we're going to blame game.
Well, I mean, listen, one of us did participate and one of us didn't, so.
That would be you.
Oh, that would be you, sir.
Yeah, no, I didn't participate. Yeah, no, it's because, you know, as I said, you know, I spend time trying to prove how much better turtles are than bunnies. I've already done that, you know, and Will and I, people forget, we won the popular vote. And that's really all that matters.
Apparently not, because we won the event.
I mean.
And as a certain president would say, the popular vote don't mean jack. Popular votes don't win elections, Tyler.
No, that's true.
No.
All right, but yeah, I've been playing that. And honestly, this week I've been thinking a lot about Phoenix Wright. And I was supposed to get a code for the Switch version of the original trilogy, but it was an Australian code, so I couldn't get it. So I'm honestly considering just buying the bloody thing because I miss Phoenix Wright, and I don't want to play it on my 3DS. I want to play it on a bigger screen and everything. So I might get my Phoenix Wright game next week. We'll just see.
Oh, I mean, also, what about you guys trying going for MK11 as well for the Switch? Or PS4.
Oh my gosh, this week has been so busy for me work-wise. I went from like 8 hours of work on Sunday to like 3 on Monday, but then 5, 7 today. Actually, I'm going to be doing like 9 before because I got to work after the podcast. So I've had like little to no time for myself.
Wow.
And of course, then this weekend is Avengers and Game of Thrones. Yeah. So, yeah. And don't worry, we are not going to go into a debate about the Game of Thrones episode because me and Tyler have very different opinions on that.
I am going to mention it. Your opinion on that, like your score wasn't that bad. You gave it a 4 out of 5.
I liked the episode. I felt it could have been better.
It was a 5 out of 5, one of the all-time best episodes, in my opinion. But just the idea that you as a writer feel like they shouldn't have made time for character moments.
Put words in my mouth. I loved that Brienne scene. That was a character moment. I loved the Jamie scene. I loved the Jamie and Bran scene. That was a character moment. I did not like certain scenes with certain character moments. I love character scenes. I gave the premiere a 4.5 out of 5 because it was a reunion special, which we all needed to have.
This episode was way better than the premiere.
I disagree.
Objectively, this episode was way better than the premiere. I mean, I guess you really can't be that objective. But anyway,
no one was objective. We're all fans.
I do agree with you on Mortal Kombat, though. I'm going to get it. Just not until next week.
That's fair. And of course I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and I have gotten to the Tempest Trials because I want to get orbs, you know, because I'm now finally back over 100 after blowing a lot of them on the Galia banner. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm slowly fading. Like I was like, do I want to play this or do I want to play Tetris? And I had to really fight the urge to play Tetris because I'm like, I should get the orbs. Nah. I might have to uninstall it eventually, but for now, my Fire Emblem love and the desire for new characters is...
It's still just bright enough.
Just bright enough. Like, I haven't gone full tilt yet, but I'm getting there. All right, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
Well, frankly, it's actually has been kind of quiet on my side. I've been just been so busy to actually try to finish up this article, but overall, not really much. As usual, I've been playing on Fire Emblem here, going through the Tempest Trials, got my basic... More Tomatoes Leo, and there's that, and of course there's actually have to play the paralogues for the picnic characters, so on the light side, on that side. Basically everything else, I've been basically kind of grinding on PS4's Overwatch, newest event, trying to get the skins, so far no luck, and on everything else, it's like, yeah, I really didn't really have much time to actually play video games, to say the least. I mean, I just been barely, like, try to scrap maybe a few, like, 1 hour at least before I go to bed, and I don't know. I just feel like I just go to bed and wake up in the morning, just go to bed, and like, ugh. It's kind of been kind of busy, to say the least. I mean, thankfully for tomorrow, like, during the time of this recording, like, tomorrow I don't have to work through the Passover, thank you, Jewish holidays. And so I probably get a good time to just basically watch the Avengers and play a little bit of, finally get some game time in, and for this weekend, so hopefully for that. But regardless, it's just like been more or less quiet, to say the least. I want to try to get through to the Cold Steel. Also, me finally tackle some of my backlogs, because again, with the upcoming Persona Q 2, and try to finish up some computer games. So overall, it has been kind of quiet on my side.
I am so depressed about this Avengers thing, because I got tickets. I'm seeing it midnight, like I guess Sunday morning at midnight, so Saturday into Sunday. And I was just scrolling through my Twitter feed today, and it was an unrelated video on IGN, and I clicked it, and somebody left a comment that I think is probably true, and it was, like, malicious. Like, they wrote a huge spoiler in all caps.
Do not say
like,
it here.
Six
I
times.
Will kick you out
oh,
so
of
fast.
Of course I'm not going to say it. I'm not gonna be like this guy. I hope that it's not true, and I'm trying to convince myself that it's not, but it just seemed like such malicious intent, and I swear if it's true, I'm going to find this person, and I'm going to beat the snot out of them. I was so angry. Like, what type of person do you have to be to do something like that? Ugh.
Internet people just full of hate and all that. Yes,
I'm not seeing it until a Saturday myself, so I gotta be very careful on the internet tomorrow, which I think I will be.
Yeah.
Now, when I woke up this morning, ironically enough, I thought this is not it, but I thought that IGN had accidentally posted a spoiler because they titled an article, and I guess this is not a spoiler for Endgame, but it was Captain America's greatest gift has always been sacrifice. And I'm like, wait a minute, did you just say that Captain America sacrificed himself in Endgame? And then I looked down, and there was like a list of articles like detailing all the Avengers, like how Hawkeye became the most human Avenger, you know, the path of Hulk and everything. I'm like, oh, thank goodness, because I'm like, IGN knows better than that, especially before the movie even premieres
right.
in the U.S. So.
They said Hawkeye was the most human Avenger?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, you got to go Iron Guy there. Iron Guy for sure.
It depends. It's all about your opinion and, you know, how you look at it. Like, I would say Hulk, because he's the guy who didn't want any of this and yet keeps getting roped into it all.
Yeah, true. I just think we've seen Iron Man's journey through all of these films, and he's been the crux. He's been the backbone of the MCU. So, to me, he's had the most development, and that's probably why he feels. Because we've seen him having panic attacks. We've seen him as a super arrogant, you know, thinks he's invincible guy. Like, just we've seen him through the ringer.
Yeah.
And that, that's why I would
I agree
with
that.
But...
But no, thankfully, I have not had the spoilers come, but it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, let this be a warning for you. Do not click on any tweets until you've seen the movie, because there might be some a-hole like this guy who just puts that comment in and potentially spoils it. I get it could be wrong. Yeah. So I'm just like, I remember reading that Tyrion died in season 6 of Game of Thrones, and I was like, how dare you post that? And that doesn't happen. So
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I have been playing Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom. I got this review code for it a long time ago.
Yes, you did.
Nearly done, though. Review is 90% done. Game is 90% done. I just have to finish the game before I publish my review. That's the thing. And I like the game. It has really, like, really, really high scores on Metacritic. I think its average was, like, an 86. I'm not that high on it. I mean, the idea is you get transformed from a human into a pig in the very beginning of the game. And then you unlock different animals as you progress. So each boss you learn, and like Mega Man, you beat a giant frog and you gain the ability to become a frog. You can gain the ability to become a dragon, a lion, a snake, and a pig. And each of them has different abilities, which are really fun to use. There's lots of exploration. The snake is good for squeezing into these small little nooks and crannies. The map is really huge, so there's a ton of secrets to find. It's difficult to find everything on your first playthrough. I think that you get a map after you've beaten the game that tells you where the stuff that you're missing is. But there are so many secrets that you can find, and you can use these abilities to seek them out. There's a few things I really don't like. The combat is kind of weird. Like, the game is oddly hard. It feels like it would be an amazing game for, like, me as a 10 or 11 year old. Like, the colors are amazing, the graphics are great, the animations are beautiful. It's very vibrant and lively, and it's a game that you could spend a lot of time in just kind of wandering and finding new things. But it's just you don't do a lot of damage, and the non-boss enemies do a ton, so you die a pretty good amount, And a lot of it is also because the controls aren't amazing. The platforming is pretty tight, but you can only attack directly in front of you. Like, so there's something above your head. You can't do like an overhead slash, which just makes no sense. And it makes these areas where there's a bat like at a 45 degree angle above your head unnecessarily difficult, where you really just want to jump up and slash over your head and hit it. You can't, and there's just no way to reach it. So there's a couple of small frustrations like that, but overall I think the game's really, really good. Between a 4 and a 3.5 right now, so I will have that review published very soon. That's been the big thing that I've been playing. I don't think I've been playing anything else this week. I really been trying to get this out.
That's fine. I mean, I actually can sympathize with your Monster Boy thing. I was given a review code last week for a game for another site. It wasn't Outer Haven. And then all of a sudden my weekend got like super busy, and then this week got crazy, and then the person emailed me today like, hey, have you got a chance to play it? I'm like, honestly, no, I haven't had time. So I can sympathize with that.
Yeah. I mean, I got this new job that was very much a time-consuming endeavor. So I'm on my second week now, but it kind of cut into my gaming time when I come home, because I'm not used to waking up early in the morning. I want to take a nap. This week I've been forcing myself to stay awake and, and try to plug through a little further. So hard, because I don't know if you guys feel this way when you're reviewing games, but like it's difficult to separate your mentality from the game. Like, there are times where I'm really tired and I'm trying to review a game and I just don't really feel like playing it. And it's hard to like take that out and be like, okay, but what? How good is the game? Like, I know that I'm not really feeling playing anything right now, but I can't let that affect my overall thoughts of how good the game is.
As a guy guy who's both playtested games and reviewed games for a lot of people, it's the hardest thing is to try and put the effort into a game you're just not interested in.
Yes.
Like, I've had to review games that I knew were going to get like a 2 out of 5, and yet I kept trudging on because I felt that I owed it to this game to try and get done, and it's so hard at times. So,
yeah.
At least it's not like Ninja Breadman back from Wii. You didn't have to review that one.
All right. Well, surprisingly, this week has been filled with big news across first and third party, and it's going to be very interesting to break it all down. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, we start with the continuing, never-ending, annoying rumors about the extension to the Switch lineup. Because for a while now, we've been hearing that we're going to get an upgraded version of the Switch, but no details as to what. And then a more casual version of the Switch, kind of like what the 2DS was for the 3DS. And now Nintendo has come out and saying that if there was to be an announcement for hardware, it will not be at E3 this year. Okay, thank you for saying that. And then to add to that, the rumor now is that the casual version is going to come out this year, like late this year, like for the Black Friday season. And then the upgraded version is going to be coming out next year. I don't know what to make of this anymore.
Yeah, it's so annoying. I mean, so much because there was that the rumor of, oh, it's coming out before E3, and then Nintendo immediately saying no. It's just like, who knows what at this point. I don't understand why they would push it that soon. Like, to me, it would make more sense if you release this in like September, but that's just my opinion.
Right. I'm definitely in the same party. It's just with new systems, it's like it really would make sense. Like, you want to push this thing at the end, like roughly at the third quarter of the fourth quarter of the year, instead of like try to push it as soon as possible. Because right now the Switch is pretty much good as it is right now. I mean, again, I would not mind like a portable, much more smaller, portable, efficient, model. But it just doesn't seem right to like really sell something new that's currently in the Switch's high time right now. It feels like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. We'll see what Nintendo's E3 looks like. I mean, if they're not going to show this, I'm happy that they're not going to show this.
Yeah, focus on the games.
Yeah, but it just feels like when are they going to kind of give it the space that it needs? I'm trying to remember how they did the 2DS launch, and I don't think they highlighted that at E3 either. Maybe
that was a direct, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was too. I'm pretty sure. I know there was rumors before it was officially announced. But yeah, maybe Nintendo Direct will do it. I'm not really sure how much the person that they're trying to target for this cares about E3. So
there you go.
I don't know. It's just I don't know if I even want this. I mean, it was different with the original DS to the upgraded DS because that was a physical form kind of thing, and the 3DS to the 3DS XL I liked because of the screen. And then there was like the new 3DS XL, which was like the graphics thing, which was a total backfire basically. But you know, if you're gonna do this, just say you're gonna do it. All right, enough of these rumors and all this crap. It's so annoying because it's like, oh, it's gonna be this. No, it's gonna be that. Oh no, not Nintendo says it's not gonna be that. Oh, make up your minds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're scrambled
right.
enough. Oh wait, that's later. Okay. All right, moving on to the March NPD numbers, which is the end of the first quarter of the new year. Happy end of the first quarter for the new year. Man, that was a month ago, but whatever. So apparently, the Switch is at about 34.74 million sold, which is pretty good. Again, you know, 35 million for officially 2 years of production. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty. Fantastic numbers.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they also say that it surpasses the lifetime sales of the N64? I believe
it has
something
indeed.
Like that.
It has indeed officially passed the N64. Which I always thought that was higher. I really did. But
yeah, the N64 is like slightly didn't sell that great. Like it was profitable. But it really was like the NES was huge, and then the Super Nintendo was good, but not as big. And at that point, you know, the N64, there was so many other consoles in the game at that point. And Sony crushed it to market, I think, by like 2 years, so or at least a year and a half.
Yeah, it was a little earlier. And then, of course, there was the cartridge versus CD debate. So while Sony technically won the console war in that regard, Nintendo 64 is still regarded as one of the best because of all the influential games that helped define, you know, the next 10 years of gaming. So who really won?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, you don't see people breaking out their PS1s, but people still break out their N64s for Mario Kart.
I still have mine. And
the
Zelda,
Mario,
and Mario Smash Brothers, all of them. So, yeah, there's that. So and Switch was the number one console in March, which is pretty good, and Yoshi's Crafted World, despite only being out for 2 days in March, was number 9 on the sellers list for the month. So that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
What's the 29th? Friday? Yeah, it was a Friday, so I'm not surprised that it was only number 9, but I guaranteed by the end of this month it's a million seller. So... All right, moving on to very big news. This happened yesterday, I do believe. Super Mario Maker 2 has officially been given a release date of June 28th. So just a few weeks after E3 2019, we will be able to get our hands on Super Mario Maker 2.
Yes, that is excellent. That'll be a perfect bridge into Fire Emblem.
It will be, because that's like, you know, 3 weeks away after that. So
yeah.
if you haven't made all the stages your mind has thought about by then, you're just out of luck.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think Mario Maker is going to be a game with a lot of legs as well. Given Switch's big install base, I'm sure that we'll see a lot of people getting creative with it. And it also comes with a cool new stylus too.
There you go.
Yes. I mean, if the recent Smash Bros. Stage build has anything taught us, I'm pretty sure that the user base consumers will make excellent levels. I mean, of course, we're talking back since the first Super Mario Maker. I can only imagine like what kind of auto run levels or even like really puzzle levels they can make. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, the first one was already very in depth, and then they're saying that the second one, the sequel is just going to be, you know, bigger and better internet function and form and all that, and then, you know, new items, new graphics, Luigi. So sky's the limit, and this is actually a great bridge because of the kind of first-party drought we're going through right now between April and May. And yes, there's Box Boy and Box Girl. That's not exactly super first-party, though, all right? So, you know, it's going to be good. I do wish it was maybe a week earlier or close to E3, because I think they could have capitalized on that. But as long as it comes out in June, power to you. Speaking of Fire Emblem, we have new information. Finally! All right, so actually, there's a lot of information that Famitsu, the Japanese magazine, actually did a significant breakdown of the game, the characters, the story, and then Nintendo actually posted a cutscene for very early in the game, showing off the avatar, some of the Three Houses students, and everything else. So be sure to go check that out. It's on the official Fire Emblem at Fire Emblem JP Twitter handle. So it's obviously won't be in English, but you'll get the idea of how the game's gonna look. So, let's start at the top. Your protagonist, your character, is apparently originally worked as a mercenary, but your talents get noticed, which is obviously cutscene material. So you become a teacher at the academy that was told about in the original trailer / breakdown. Your mom has passed away because, of course, it's not Fire Emblem without parent death. Can we just note how many parents die in Fire Emblem games?
Too many. I'm so annoyed by this little wrinkle in there. Why couldn't your dad be the one who was dead in the beginning? I guess that's just as bad, because in Fire Emblem 7, Fado die. That's Sacred Stone. Sacred Stone's, your dad and mom are both dead.
Yep.
In 7, Elliewood's dad, Albert, dies.
Yep.
In Path of Radiance, they obviously both are dead.
Yeah, well, eventually die, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Grail dies and Elena's dead.
Yeah.
Micaiah doesn't have parents.
Technically speaking, yeah.
Yeah.
They're both dead.
Yes. Let's see. Marth's parents die.
Yep. Crom. Don't forget Crom's.
Crom's parents are dead. His sister dies.
Yeah. Technically speaking, Lucina's parents die, you know?
You're right.
Technically speaking.
Obviously, your mother dies right away in Fates, and all of your, depending on your path, two of your siblings die.
Yep.
Like, I get that that's a trend, like a theme in Fire Emblem. Really, come on, can we get a little more original? Yeah. Alm, same thing.
Yeah,
who's Alm?
Telica.
Alm kills his dad in the end. Like,
yep.
God.
Celica, you know, and the
Celica.
We should just rename this family.
It really
death
is
emblem.
Every single one.
It is. Yeah. It's like a catalyst. It's a big thing.
Roy's mom's dead, and Elliewood's sick.
Yep, and then Hector dies in battle for Lilina. Yeah. So, family death album, everybody.
in Holy War and Thracia. I don't know.
Sigurd dies in the worst way possible.
Oh, yeah,
which is why I wanted to be remade so we can actually see that as a cutscene.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be tragic, but it'd be like the good kind of tragic.
Yeah.
Anyway. Alright, let's try and move on from the dead parents. Alright, Geralt is a legendary being who is said to be the strongest knight in history.
No, he's literally Grail, and now he now leads a mercenary company.
Yeah.
Like it's so lazy.
Yeah. He was summoned to the Garrig Mach Monastery together with a protagonist, which makes him return to the knights once again. We got Sothis, who is no relation to Soth, who is a mysterious girl who looks young but speaks in an old manner and looks like Tiki, or like Tiki's little sister. She saves the protagonist at the fateful night, of course. She normally doesn't show herself up. What? And speaks with telepathy into your head so no one except you notices her, because that's not annoying at all. Here's a good one. She also lost the memory of her true self. Fire trope.
Yeah, that's a shock.
Yeah. Fire trope emblem, everybody. All right, and then the leaders of the three houses. We got Edelgard, princess of the Edestrian Empire.
Hey, try her last name, though.
It doesn't say her last name. It just says
Edelgard von Hersvelger.
Hersvelger?
It's von Hersvelger. Hersvelger. It's first try.
All right. Well, she's the princess of the Edestrian Empire, who has been promised the position of the next empress. A talented woman who has a cold and noble atmosphere. I like it. Not demeanor. Atmosphere. Okay. So, the Edestrian Empire has the longest history. Good to know. I appreciate that. And many people here are more skilled in magic than weapons, which is actually a detail I like, because it shows that the Three Houses' crews will be decidedly different.
That's great to know,
yeah. Yeah, you know?
That's very cool. All
right. Dimitri, an eloquent youth who has manners and embodied chivalry, but he somehow holds a shadow. Okay.
Again, is the Japanese wording? Is the Japanese literal?
Japanese I think it means like he has like a darkness in him, I think, or something.
Yep.
Perhaps because the Holy Kingdom of Faragus? Is that a supernatural thing? Faragus?
Yes, it is.
Is known for its knights. Many of the students here are good at using spears. I'm loving this diversity. This is nice.
Yes. By the way, his middle and last name, Alexandre Bladad.
What?
Okay, Bladad.
Dang, they're going full medieval. Huh?
B-L-A-I-D-D-A-D.
Where are you seeing this? This isn't in my sheet. Where are you seeing
RPGsite.net.
Of course. All right.
Shout out to RPG.
Yeah,
RPG.
And then shout out to Nintendo Everything, even though they call themselves NEP and they are not.
Yeah, that's a great point about them not being.
Yeah, we are 100 episodes ahead of you. Anyway, then Claude. What's
Von Reagan.
Von really?
That one's easy. Yeah,
that one's
and
easy.
And now I'm going with Claude just because of that.
Oh, wow. Was he an actor in his past life? I'm joking. a friendly youth whose smile fits him well. Although he doesn't seem like thinking of things too deeply, he has a sharp insight. Compared to the other classes, Golden Deer has more commoner students. We will get to that in a second. And many of them are also good at using bows.
Eh.
Okay.
This is my boy. I'm going with Claude, dude.
I know. I'm interested in Dimitri and Edelgard. But we'll just see. We'll just see. Again, I have a feeling this is going to be a massively replayable game. All right. So it's gameplay elements. There will be a rewind system. If you remember Shadows of Valencia, we had a what was it called? Milo's stopwatch, was it?
Milo's wheel, like
yeah, wheel
Milo's turn wheel.
Turn wheel, right?
Milo's turn wheel.
Milo's turn wheel, which you could rewind a couple of turns, which I didn't realize I could use until like the second to last level in the game. But who cares? that just proves that I am stronger because I didn't even have to use it. Anyway,
lest we forget, you played on normal mode.
Shut up! But hey, I made it so that characters could die. So
that's true.
Yeah, I didn't do Phoenix Mode. I never do that. Anyway, this is made possible by Sothis' ability to turn back time. So that's pretty interesting. All right, the system is similar to Echoes, but it will be more limited, apparently. We'll see how that goes. All right, there will be a terrain effects. Other than determining movement costs, evasion rates, some spots have gimmicks, such as healing HP, or even warping a character to another spot.
Of course.
That's good. When the game is just booted, there will be choices for normal, hard, difficulty, and casual classic mode, of course. All right, here's the important stuff. Class changes now use a qualification exam system. Characters need to spend exam passes, and the chance of passing improves with character skill ranks. So you really got to earn it this time. Once the class has been unlocked, the character can freely change back at any time.
That's great.
I like that. But your level won't go back to level 1. So we'll see how that goes. Characters, here's the commoner part. Characters start in commoner or noble class, likely for the protagonist and the three heads, depending on their origins. But these starting classes are same stat-wise, can just use magic with no other highlights. It's probably a translation thing. Alright, the first class upgrades are after level 5. You get how do you say that? Mimirdin?
Mimirdin.
I've always said Mimirdin, and I know that's never right. The Mimirdin has a sword, the soldier has a spear, a warrior has an axe and a bow, and the monk is magic. Mm-hmm. And then your ranked skills are swords, spears, axes, bows. I almost said physics. That would have been hilarious. But is that physics? Is it psychic? Physics? Whatever. But I'm going to say it's physics because it looks like physics. Physics, black and dark magic, faith, white magic, flying, flyer classes, heavy armor, armored classes, or horse riding, cavalry classes, and then each character has good and bad ranks. So, let's just
Wait, each character has good and bad ranks.
Well, it's like in a Shadows of Valentia where some characters are better suited for certain ranks, like
right, okay,
like
class
Gray,
advantages.
Gray is like, always going to be like the sword master at his best,
right?
And then I thought Clive would be a good bowman, but apparently he was better for magic. I didn't know.
I like Clive as a bowman.
Yeah,
I mean not Clive, Cliff is a bowman.
Yeah, Cliff. I'm sorry, I meant Cliff. But yeah, so it's like that.
So. Mm-mm. Right, and weapons rank. Yeah, that's right.
I'm liking what I'm hearing, though, like the differences between the different countries and who you're going to get, you know, what their specialties are going to be, the variety. It's sounding pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, a lot of this was really exciting to me. The gameplay mechanics seemed great. There was a lot of people who, after they saw the trailer, were very concerned that it was too much of a Fire Emblem Hogwarts and less focus on the gameplay systems. I mean, after you read this, I don't think that argument has any grounding in reality. It seems like they've revamped a ton of systems, and I'm absolutely here for it. I think that the graphics on the characters are a little hit or miss to me. I actually don't like Edelgard. I love her portrait, but I'm looking at this big picture of her close up, and she's just so bland. Her face is very generic, and it's like she has the white hair, which is cool. But I think Dimitri and Claude have much better artwork.
Personality, basically.
Yes,
you can tell personality from
the
portrait.
Yeah.
Well, again, if you remember, her personality is that resemblance of an ice queen, so I wouldn't be surprised if you felt that way.
Yeah, I just, I'm not sure if you guys can see this picture on your screen, you'll see what I'm talking about. Just, she doesn't look particularly, I don't even want to say, like there's a stoicism to it, but it just looks uninspired, is what I'm trying to,
I think that's kind of what they're going for. She is trying to be stoic, again, due to the whole, I don't know, ice aura.
Yeah, stoic's not the right word. Uninspired is the word I'm looking for. It's just, there's nothing notable about her features, and she just seems like a generic NPC when she's a main character.
She's trying to be cold.
Okay, well, it's a stop. Okay, let's stop and move on. But I'm excited for some of what I'm seeing, and of course, hopefully by E3, get another trailer and another look at the game line, which I'm glad they're keeping somewhat under wraps. So this just, it looks like a very diversified Fire Emblem game, which I'm happy with, because for the record, I would have been happy with the Hogwarts Fire Emblem. Okay, like, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, so, I was about to say, yeah.
I mean, if you do it right, any gimmick can work. Okay, all right. A lot of people were iffy. Now, hear me out, Tyler. A lot of people were iffy about Fates because they didn't like the whole black and white thing. They're like, oh, it's not really going to be different games. It's going to be like Pokemon, and then all of them were different. You know, different difficulties, different storylines, different outcomes, and that was pretty cool. So, you know, give Three Houses a chance, all right? I trust Intelligent Systems, so. Yeah. All right, so here's a piece of news that no one really saw coming. Mario Kart Tour. Now, it was already known it's going to be coming out this year, but now we have confirmation by Nintendo that it's going to be coming out this summer at some time. Hopefully by E3 we'll have a more precise release date. But even better, there is going to be a beta test for Android users. Only Android users at this time. We have the website, or sorry, we have the article up on our website. You go to the official Mario Kart Tour website, and you can scan a QR code to get all the details that you need to sign up for the event. You have until May 7th, that makes sense, May 7th. And then the beta test itself will go from, I think they said May 22nd to like June 7th, so right before E3. So I love this, you know, because you know there's going to be like 1,000 impressions coming out by then.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Unfortunately, the only caveat when I was reading the fine print is that you need to have a Gmail account. So yeah, do not register yourself if you have a Yahoo account. Yeah, your Nintendo account must be linked to a Gmail account. So
that's interesting. Kind of I wonder why they did that.
I think I know why, and I think it's because, like any good beta test, they're going to send you an email survey, because it's on your phone and not on like your Switch, where they could just send it to like your Switch account or something. So they probably want a Gmail so they can email you the survey and then get feedback on it.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't it be Yahoo too? I mean, you could send it to a Yahoo email address.
I don't know. Why don't they do AOL and it appeal to me? I don't know. Ours is not to question why, except for what's coming up later, because we can question that to high heaven. But this is good news, because, you know, Nintendo really, you know, they didn't do well with the mobile initiative last year because they had nothing except Fire Emblem Heroes updates.
And Dragalia. Wait, was Dragalia?
Oh, Dragalia. I apologize. Yeah. There was Dragalia, and that did really well. So props to them. But, you know, they're going to have that Dr. Mario game, which hopefully we'll hear more about at E3. And then, of course, we got Mario Kart Tour, which we'll definitely hear about at E3, no doubt. So if they release these two and they're really good, that they'll get them back on track. So here's helping. All right. From Mario Kart to Bloody Violence. Let's talk Mortal Kombat 11. So according to the team at NetherRealm Studios, Mortal Kombat 11 has officially had the biggest launch in their history. Full stop. So there are no numbers, but this basically says they've sold a couple million in the first, you know, couple days, which it came out on the 23rd. Yeah, the 23rd. So that's pretty good. And the reviews have been mostly positive. There have been some issues with the towers and the grinding and progression. And
I hated to see that complaint because Mortal Kombat 9, there was a lot of grinding, but it was not in that micro. I don't think there were microtransactions.
No, I don't think there was.
You were rewarded for playing the game, and you could get all the stuff fairly easily. It just was I've heard that if you want to get the maximum, or if you want to buy everything in the crypts right away, it would cost $6,000.
Yeah. Yep.
That's ridiculous. So,
that is ridiculous, but you know, I think it's actually an encouraging thing because it's going to make you want to get everything else the long way. You know, because if it was cheap, then it wouldn't mean anything. But if it's expensive, like $6,000. You're not going to do that. It's still, but Ed Boon himself has said that a lot of changes are coming in regards to the grinding and the progression and all that. So just stay tuned. Updates are coming soon. And yeah, it's coming. Just hold on. But aside from that, the game has been universally praised. The story mode has been praised to very good extents. And there were a few odd things, apparently, but also some fans are just nitpicky. Like, did you hear about the Jax ending?
I did. That was so funny. That was just a weird thing. I can't imagine more than two people were complaining about that.
That's trolling. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I actually, because I don't know when I'm going to get to play the game, I was on the internet and I saw like for the record, this just shows how quickly people can get things done, because in the course of like, I don't know, 12 hours, someone had already posted a video of all the endings for classic mode.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure they probably received it earlier ahead of time, so probably
possibly. But anyway, so I popped into a few of them just to see what it was like, and some of them were actually really heartwarming. I think ironically the one I liked the most was Kano.
Cabal
for me.
No,
Cabal
Kano.
Kano? Like,
yeah, Kano's in the game. I was watching the show. It's Kano. I know it's Kano. All right. You know, the guy with the eye, the robot eye, the laser.
Yeah, why Kano? Please explain. Okay. With slight spoilers.
I will. Okay. So I gotta classify this as a reason why I watched this video in the first place, because I saw the Mortal Kombat videos, and then one of them was Mortal Kombat ending cutscenes, but the thumbnail for pure clickbait was a picture of two fighters from the game in like very scantily clad outfits. And I'm like, wait a minute, I remember the Mortal Kombat people saying that they weren't going to do this, so why is this picture existing? So I was like clicking and clicking and clicking to see where this was at, and sure enough, it was Kano. And of course, Kano was making Sonya Blade fight, I think, one of the other characters, I don't remember who.
I'm pretty sure it's Cassie.
It probably was Cassie. So, you know, so of course, he would make them wear scantily clad stuff. But the reason I liked it was not because of that scene, that is not why I liked it, but it was that as a guy who has fought so hard to get everything, when he finally gets everything with a snap of fingers in a certain hourglass, he hated it. He's like, that's not the point. You have to have the fight. The struggle means everything. So he redid everything so that everything, in his own words, was just out of reach. And he had to earn it. And there was like a final shot that was a callback to the earlier games and everything. And I was like, I like that. Because I mean, even the bad guys realize when you have everything and it just happens for you, that's not satisfying.
Right.
I also thought Katana had a great one because she had.
Katana was beautiful.
Yeah, Katana had a
good
one.
Don't spoil that one for
me. I won't spoil it, but it was very touching. But it really just goes to the fact that when you think you want something and you work so hard to get it, it doesn't always end up like you think. But it also gives you insight. And I think a lot of these endings are for that. So. That I won't spoil anymore, but I find them satisfying, and I would like to play the game just so I could get all these endings. But
yeah. I mean, I kind of spoiled on every single ending myself, and like, yeah, I gotta say the bad guys' evil endings, like, jeez Louise, what the hell they had to do with Katana? Granted, she is like the Adenian princess, but jeez, what they do to her? Oh, I'm so sad.
Watch it, but no spoilers.
I know. But also, I gotta give props to Aaron Max's ending. He's just such a real guy. So once you get to see it, you know what I mean. He's like, I love Troy Baker's performance as Aaron Black, and like his ending, how he perceives himself.
Wow.
It's Troy Baker. I mean, he also voices Shinnok, but yeah, he also voices Aaron Black. But yeah, his ending just so down to earth, and I just like how his character is.
I also like Johnny Cage's and Cassie Cage's because of certain events that happened in the storyline. Mm. It was very touching. So, yeah. All right, but no more spoilers.
Okay.
But I will say this: that the team also said that there will be, quote, years of content to becoming to Mortal Kombat 11, which lines up because of the DLC characters that we know are coming, like Shang Tsung possibly Spawn. I don't know. We'll see.
We're still waiting for those guest characters. Yeah.
Wasn't there a leak of the ghost characters? There's been a lot of rumors of Joker in Mortal Kombat, which would be hilarious.
That would not be surprising.
I saw that. Yeah. Joker was among them. And I think, was Rain in there, or is Rain a hidden fighter that's already in the game?
Well, because again, there was a lot of, like, if you play in separate matches, there are some callbacks to other characters that apparently they're supposedly died because of them. So there are some callbacks.
Yeah. And then there's also confirmation that Melina will not be in this game, apparently. Which has
That's fine. I get Melina fans being upset. Like, if Ness wasn't in Smash Bros., I would be really upset. Oh. But Mortal Kombat always rotates its cast. Like, there's very few characters that are in every game. I mean, Katana's been in just about every game, I think, since 2. I think that was her first game.
Yeah, 1 or 2.
Give or take. Yeah.
And, Liu Kang, obviously, is always there, but...
And you gotta think of it like this. We lost Melina, but we got back Scarlet, and Scarlet was, totally revamped to be unique.
And Jade's back.
So, yeah.
And Frost is back.
Oh, we gotta talk about her. Oh my gosh. Now, I knew about Frost, and I saw the cutscene in Mortal Kombat 10 where she dies, spoilers, but apparently she was brought back from Mortal Kombat 11, and she's got a good head on her shoulders. When it's dear gosh, this trailer, and I mean, I've seen so many character reveal trailers across so many games, but this was the most bonkers reveal trailer in history, because half of it is showing Frost detach her head to use it as a weapon.
Mm.
Why?
Heck. Again, if you know the lore of Cyberlink Kuei, she pretty much resigned herself to the dark side, basically, because of her ambition and jealousy.
Yep, and it's just like, and then her fatality of the brains and the cyber soldier is like, wow, oh my god.
Right, that one, like, pretty much showing the process of how they make the Cyberlink Kuei is like, jeez, is like, ooh, so brutal.
I know. Oh my gosh. It's just like, I was watching that, I'm like, oh, okay, Frost is back. That's a good choice. You know, I knew she was in the last game. And then I'm like watching, I'm like, huh? Like, and I know about Cyrax and Sektor, you know, the original Cyber Lin Kuei, and that's fine. But, like, wow. NetherRealm.
Mm-hmm.
Props to you for originality.
Right. And especially, I get a good props to the design, from the original Lin Kuei uniforms to, her Chronicles in... enforced it Kuei outfit is like, yeah, gotta give props to Frost's new design. It's like pretty interesting. And not to go off spoiler too much, but have you seen that Easter egg with Frost as well?
I have not.
There is a legit reference to Frost.
Oh no. I'm not joking. I literally heard Let It Go in my head when you said that, and I'm like, oh gosh. So
don't worry, she doesn't say that line.
Does Johnny say it to her?
No. Okay, basically, Frost and Cassie Cage together.
Oh, gosh. Cassie was my next guest. It was. Oh, Cassie. All right, moving on from an ice witch to a regular witch. I guess Umbra witch is more accurate. We have some new, potentially new information on Bayonetta 3. So... a lot of us, including here at NEP, were hoping that Bayonetta 3 was going to be coming out this year, even though we haven't seen anything about it recently. But apparently Nintendo dropped a lot of information during the March MPD data, and one of it was that Bayonetta 3 is still labeled as TBA, to be announced. And so it could be hitting this year. That could change easily, but rumors are saying that it might get pushed to 2020, which... honestly, given everything that's coming out this year that we still know is coming and is not dated, that might be best, because they could push it to, January, February of next year, and it could be, a strong kickoff to 2020 for Nintendo.
Yeah, this would be... I mean, not... I. it would be disappointing because we heard about it so long ago and we still haven't seen anything from it. I'm going to wait until E3. It's got to be at E3. It wouldn't be stunning me if they pushed it, because you know they do have a pretty crowded schedule. But without Bayonetta, I mean, you are starting, and without Metroid, now we would be down two games that we already had in. So it could be a little a bit of an issue.
Well, if the news is to be true, and like if Bayonetta will be indeed probably going down late to the year to early next year, I mean. Yes, it is indeed would be a disappointment, but given the props of Platinum Games, like they again, they're top of their craft, so if they need more time to go and work this thing, I honestly would not mind. Yes, it's a blow to this year, but right now Nintendo's pretty much providing other games that actually help fill out the year, like with Three Houses, Super Mario Maker, and the such. So, and heck, they even have Astral Chain to go along with it.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are guaranteed getting one Platinum Games title this year, exclusively for Switch. So. Let them take their time. They have said that they are wanting to make sure that Bayonetta 3 isn't just a repeat of 2 and 1. They want to make this one unique with new gimmicks, new, you know, updated visuals, and new moves for Bayonetta. So take your time. This make it epic, because they've got a lot to live up to. Because while Bayonetta 2 may not have sold the best, it was a Game of the Year nominee for many, many websites. So,
right, I still remember back in 2017, WGA, yeah, I was playing for much, So
it sucks that we haven't seen anything since 2017, which makes me feel old, but, you know, if it's about quality, I'm all for it. So, now, the good news is that in the same article that mentioned this, they also talked about how Nintendo confirmed that both the Animal Crossing game for Switch and Luigi's Mansion 3 will be coming out this year. They did not give specifics, which points to an E3 or Nintendo Direct reveal, but if they're coming out this year, this just, again, boosts everything that's coming out this year for the Switch. So, yeah.
That's something I'm going to be interesting about, because, like, yeah, Luigi's Mansion, aside from that initial review trailer, I was, like, showing a little bit of pieces here, like, we still basically have no idea what's going on, so Luigi's Mansion Switch. Yeah, that too. But, yeah. For me, like, Luigi's Mansion Switch, heck, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm really more curious to go into Animal Crossing, because, again, a lot of people have been clamoring for it, and since the Isabelle reveal, like, saying that it is in production, so how they're going to make Animal Crossing Switch, that is, like, new territory, so that one I'm actually looking more forward to.
Why would you say it's new territory? Animal Crossing debuted on consoles.
Well, no. I mean, in regards to, like, how they're going to continue with the theme, because, again, with the original Animal Crossing back in GameCube, then with New Leaf, then, like, how they're going to continue to expand the formula, or, like, yeah, that's what I mean by new territory. Like, what else can they add more to it? That's what I'm wondering.
Okay.
Yeah, at this point, do you guys think we'll see these games before E3? Because I don't.
It's possible. I mean, we know, if you remember, not last year, but 2 years in 2017, they did, like, 2 Nintendo Directs before E3. They did the big one, and then they did, like, that mini one that announced the Pokemon games, so that they could free up space for E3. So it is within their repertoire to pull this off and to do it, but I don't know. We'll just have to see. It's all about what they think they need to show at E3. So that's honestly, I don't know. Nintendo does what Nintendo wants.
That's very true.
Right.
All right, now this was supposed to be where we ended the news segment. Apparently, Tyler has a Team Sonic thing to talk about.
Very important news. So they finally released a second episode of Team Sonic Racing Overdrive on Twitter, and I think YouTube as well. And these are the series of shorts kind of meant to advertise the game. And while you'll never beat the first one with Big and his love of Froggy being on full display, this was super funny, and they did a great job of showing the mechanics of the game. It was basically a Team Dark versus Team Sonic race, and with some good character moments. They had some Rouge and Knuckles taking shots at each other, and Tails and Omega going face to face. But in the end, Shadow is flying towards the finish line, about to get the W, and you get to see the cool mechanic of Sonic takes a shortcut and jumps out and lands next to Tails and Knuckles, still kind of far behind Shadow, but when they're all lined up, that gives them a super boost to shoot past them for the W. And the short's really funny. I recommend you watch it. It's just great animation. But I think that was a good way to kind of show some gameplay stuff. I'm curious to see how that boost mechanic will factor in, because I'm so used to playing games like Mario Kart and the previous Sonic Racing games where it really is just a solo, it's a solo tour. I wonder just how important teamwork is going to be in this game. It's a really unique concept for a racing game, and I'm very excited. If they pull it off well, that could be a ton of fun.
And I just want to go and point this thing out. We're just using a flip phone in 2019.
That's a great point. I didn't think about that, but you're totally right. Yeah, Rouge gets her car wrecked, and she breaks out a flip phone to call. Did she call Omega or did Omega?
It's Omega. It's Omega. And like, come on, we're in 2019. Who still uses a flip phone?
You'd be surprised. I mean, you laugh, but you'd be surprised.
All Andrew right, Luck, so... quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, uses a flip phone. Shout
there
out.
There you go. All right, so. Now that all the good news is out of the way, and Bayonetta, we now have to talk about what else happened this week that did not fill us with joy at all. So, Persona 5 was supposed to be coming to the Switch, or so we all thought. And then earlier in the week, Persona 5 Royal was announced for PS4. Was it PC 2?
No, it's strictly still Sony. It is still Sony.
Right? I just wanted to be sure. Right, I couldn't remember. That's why I asked. So, yeah, for PS4, and everyone's like, okay, you know, it's the original version. It should get the update. PS4, fine, whatever. And then we were all, wait, what?
Sorry. Again, I just want to clarify to the people again. Like, basically, Persona 5 Royal is basically, think of it as the Persona 4 Golden of Persona 5. Yes, sorry. Just need to correct that.
I'm continuing now, and I'm going to expect you not to interrupt until after the song for the segment. Good boy. Now, so you're all expecting Persona 5S to come, and everyone was thinking that Persona 5S was for Persona 5 Special, like a special edition, for the Switch edition. No, it is not. It is Persona 5 Scramble Phantom Thieves, because we all need another Musou fighting game in our lives. No! No, we do not. And we will voice our displeasure with this in a Nintendo discussion. Will, as the Persona fan, I will let you go first.
Yeah, so just for context, this is basically happening during the Persona 5 Live concert that was happening for the past two days. So the first day was obviously for the review of Persona 5 The Royal, basically the enhanced version of Persona 5 with the extra dungeon, new member of the Phantom Thieves, and basically just a whole lot more added to basically sprinkle on a very good product already. And then the next day, we have pretty much the same concert, the same trailer of Persona 5 Royal. But after that, they actually had that one more trailer to show, which was indeed Persona 5. Persona 5
Scramble.
Scramble. Yeah, Persona 5 Scramble. Which?
Yes, Persona 5 Strikers. We're going to soccer, baby. That would have been better.
That would have been nice to say at least. Though, but yeah, continuing on, like when they saw this thing on Twitter, like, what? And it's like, I was looking at Kotaku, I was like, a Musou style Persona game. I looked at the trailer. My brain literally, like, could not process this. Like, out of all the properties that can have a Musou style treatment, like, Persona? What? Like, Musou, a Dynasty Warriors Persona with Persona. Huh? And then I go and look at the trailer, like, huh? Like, the initial shock of me is like, I can't process words. Like, out of all things, you would bring Persona with the Musou style format? Like, how would that even work? And when I see the gameplay, the bits of gameplay they showed off so far, with Joker coming down, summoning Arsene, and like smashing all Jack Lanterns, Pixies, all that, is like, huh. I mean, again, over the long. Made an already overdone joke, but again, I did not see this coming. Like, and the thing is, like, this was kind of kind of already clued in, because again, if you have seen on Twitter, like, there were so many flowers that have been sent, including from the company of Koei Tecmo of Omega Force, that says good luck with the concert. They obviously alluded to something, and lo and behold, it was indeed Persona 5 Scramble. And the initial shock of me is like, I'm like, what? I never would have thought that Persona would have a Musou style game. We have a dancing game, we have a fighting game. Now we're going for the Musou style game? It's like, jeez, that is totally left field. On one hand, I'm looking forward to it. Like, this is definitely new territory, and perhaps it may do well, like with Hyrule Warriors or with Fire Emblem Warriors, and may do something well, which, again, is new territory to say the least. So it could be something very special. On the other hand, I've also seen on the ratio of the trailer, like, they only have, like, half and half, and some people were not very happy about this, because, like, why would you bring Musou-style gameplay into a Persona, which is, like, yeah, it's so unheard of. And some people naturally are very unhappy about that, to say the least.
It's not that people aren't upset about the fact that they're bringing a Musou Persona game. People would be super excited about that. We're upset because we thought we were getting Persona 5 for Switch. Persona 5 on Switch. That's what we thought we were going to get. I mean, it just seemed like there was so much inevitability surrounding it when they announced Joker for Smash, which really is when it all that's to me, I think that's where the unless I'm mistaken, that's really where the momentum originated from. Why would they add this characters in one game, one main game, into a Nintendo game unless, you know, Persona 5 is coming to Switch? To me, it felt like it feels like with Joker specifically. I flash back to my freshman year of college, where the first guy that I met was like, I went out of state. He was from New Jersey. I was from New Jersey. I was like, oh, this guy's going to be my dude. And then like, he just like was a jerk and I never really saw him again. But I was so sure that it was going to be the beginning of a great friendship. And that's what I felt like with Joker's inclusion in Smash. Like, I was like, I don't know anything about this character besides the fact that he's from an iconic franchise. I'm very excited to kind of get to meet the character, learn about the character, and then play his game. And now that his game is just, I mean, it might come eventually, but I just don't see it. I feel like if this would have been the spot to announce it, it could still come. It could still come. They got to put that out there. But so shocking and so aggravating. I am so just, I'm mad. Mad is really the word.
I did definitely share that first initial emotion with you as well, because like, why? Like out of all the things they have the Musou treatment, Persona was one of the last things I expect to have a Musou game. And yet here we are in a timeline which we are having a Persona Musou game and Joker and Smash. It's like, yeah, and also to answer your look, also address that part, is because that's the kind of thing, unfortunately, to hype culture. Like, everybody really wanted to believe that that Persona 5 was coming to the Switch because of Joker's involvement in Smash. And again, Sakurai involved him because he loved the game, so that would be the next logical choice, bring Persona 5 to the Switch. And interviews afterwards, they said, like, it's definitely a system that we want to bring to, so we're still trying to think about it, but we just have to wait and see. And the thing is that with this concert, there was the perfect time, because again, it was a celebration of all the Persona. So why not bring it to, like, announce it there? But instead, just like, everybody was pretty much like hoping, trying to believe so hard it's coming to Switch, but no, once you hear the new Persona 5 Scramble, is like, you that hype got betrayed everyone's expectations. And it's like, yeah, this was not the last thing you probably expected, and that's why you feel that sense of anger. Like, you felt betrayed. Like, oh, the deception, the disgrace.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Here's my thoughts on this. Okay, now again, I am more surprised than anybody that I am so angry about this, because outside of Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, I have never, and Smash Brothers now, obviously, I have not played a single game with a Persona character. That's not an insult to the franchise. I never had a PS3, PS4 to play these games, and I had no interest in Persona Q or, you know, and all the other ones that came out for the 3DS. Again, not an insult to the franchise. I just never had an interest in playing Persona. That's fine. But everything I heard about Persona 5 was that this was like the Monster Hunter world of the Persona franchise. You know, it was meant to be accessible to everyone and to truly make it stand out. And it did. It got, you know, Game of the Year awards and nominations and everything else, and it was the best-selling game of the franchise. So when the rumor started to go about Persona 5 being on Switch because of Joker being a Smash Brothers, I was legit excited. I mean, Will has talked about the game for a while, and I really wanted to try it out just to see what it was like with the anime and the life model simulator and everything else. And then when I heard about Royal, I was like, okay, that's fine. Again, the PS4 was the original, so get the upgraded version, get the new characters, that's fine. I'll take the original version, that's all I need. But no, we're getting a Warriors title. Why? And I know some people are like, well, you guys are Nintendo dudes, why don't you were happy with Hyrule Warriors and Fire Emblem Warriors? Well, yeah, but we also had all those Legend of Zelda games and Fire Emblem games to play afterwards. We don't have Persona 5. That was the game we wanted. We don't want this knockoff, for lack of a better term. Knockoff, spin-off, whatever you want to call it. We wanted the game that everyone was talking about, not this. And this is yet another case of the developers thinking, why should we do this? Well, we could do this. This will surprise them. This will be different. This will be exciting. That might be true, but it's not what we want. We wanted Metroid Prime 4. You gave us Federation Force. Because that totally worked out well. Right,
yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's a great point. When comparing it to Hyrule Warriors and Fire Emblem Warriors, I mean, imagine if we didn't have a Zelda game for a long stretch of time imagine there was no Zelda game for a long stretch of time, and then they finally announced Hyrule Warriors. How do you think people would react to that? It would be a disaster.
Or imagine this. Imagine if Hyrule Warriors didn't come out for the Wii U, but it was the launch title for Switch, and then, we didn't get Breath of the Wild until this year.
Yeah,
that would not go over well. So that's the difference, is that we have our other Zelda games to fall back on. This was a nice change of pace for Zelda and Fire Emblem fans because we had played all the other original titles, the true fans played all the original titles for both those franchises. It was a nice change of pace. We Nintendo fans have not had a pure Persona title on our consoles, not handhelds. So for us to get the Scramble game, a Musou game, a Warriors title, it just feels wrong. It feels like we, like you said, Will, like we have been betrayed because we have been hoping beyond hope that we would get Persona 5 to experience it for ourselves on the Switch, on the go, and we're not getting it. And you better bet your butt that I am not getting this title. I will continue to not be playing Persona games outside of Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah, I retroactively feel like I'm angry that they chose Joker as a DLC character for Smash. Like I was happy with
too.
It at first. I am angry about that now. Like that's a waste of a character to me. That's a character I don't know anything about.
Let him speak.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that character. I don't have access to that character's games. There's no history with Nintendo in that character. It's just it's a Sony rep that's in a game that came out like that doesn't have a lot of history. Like it's a great game. I'm not denying that Persona 5 is a great game, but it's not a historical game. I mean, maybe Cloud, for example, he's a Sony character, but that's Final Fantasy. I mean, that's one
and
of the most
iconic.
And he was
in the Kingdom Hearts games on the Nintendo handheld.
That's
so
one of the most
there.
Iconic games of all time. And Persona 5, maybe one day will, its legacy will carry on, but he doesn't fit the brand of an exciting character to me. And he did when I thought, oh, I'll get to experience this amazing game. That's a great, little lead in. But yeah, there's 100 characters I can name before him that I would rather have.
I'm kind of with Tyler on this one, because I mean, even if you don't agree that the Cloud should be on there because of, game reasons, Final Fantasy VII is now on Switch. And again, you could play Cloud in the Kingdom Hearts games, depending on which one you had. And now it's like, oh, well, he does still fit the mold of third-party characters being on a Nintendo system because of Persona Q2 and now I almost said Fire Emblem Scramble. That's something we don't need. Persona 5 Scramble, but it's a cop-out because, it's starring Joker, but that's not the game we wanted that stars Joker. We wanted Joker's game, not this game. And it's just, I mean, the only logical explanation for this outside of them trying to go off base, which I pray this wasn't just that, is the exclusivity agreement with Sony. That is the only thing that I can think about, because it's stated that Persona is a PS, that the main Persona titles are a PS4 exclusive only. But then again, we've seen exclusivity broken eventually, and even if it was Persona was released, let's just say in September, like Persona, the true Persona 5 was released in September, that's well after 2 years for the PS4 version. That's more than enough time for all the exclusive people, the PS4 diehards, the Persona diehards, to get it on PS4. It's like Octopath Traveler. If you haven't bought Octopath Traveler on a Switch in over about a year, that means you didn't have a Switch or you didn't want the game. Right. Because you had plenty of time. So double that, that's where we're at for Persona 5, and we're still not getting it on Switch. And that sucks.
It's definitely, I definitely empathize with going to that view. It's just really, again, you want this game. I mean, heck, I definitely want more people to experience it. Because again, like, if Persona came to the Switch and then everybody gets to experience this great experience, then that would just be simply great news that everyone would enjoy it. I mean, enjoying Persona 5 on the Switch, on the go, on the console. But it's definitely, like, as I said, like, I definitely empathize with going to the disappointment, because again, you wanted this thing so badly, and yet Atlas just decides no, not yet. We are gonna give you something, but just not the main title. I mean, I hopefully it's because of that whole exclusivity deal with Sony, but as of time being right now, this is something they want to make. And again, I can only imagine but wonder what was the idea when Atlas and that led to Atlas and Omega Force, Tecmo, to collab on this. That's something I'm very curious about.
Yeah.
Because as you know, Ty, you speak from experience. Like, you got kind of burned out on Fire Emblem Heroes because it just got, it's pretty much the Citizen Kane of video games, as Jim Stick would say. And
that's a very interesting reference, Will, but I appreciate it.
And
it's the Citizen Kane of video games.
Because again, you combine such great formats like Zelda, like Fire Emblem, and then you mix it something that's almost to the point dead centered medium. Like, it could be either very good or it could be either very bad. And to combine it with Persona is that is just oddball couple right there. But to be frank, I mean, to be clear, Japan loves their Musou games. I mean, we already have to Dynasty Warriors 9, which, again, it still shows that they still have a market here. I mean, in Japan, but I'm not sure about the Western market.
Yeah, the Western market never picked it up as much, because it's always been it's always been the same game, so.
Right. And I've heard the crowd reaction to it, and they loved it, because, it also gives that, imagination, because unfortunately, yes, this is basically meant for the main Persona fans, and for me, I just can't wait to play as the different characters, with Joker themselves. Because again, while you can't control the characters in the main game, you could act here in this Musou. I can only imagine controlling as Joker, as Ryuji, as An, as Makoto, with my freaking girl Makoto playing as that. That raises the popularity there. So, again, I'm also kind of 50-50 right here. I'll definitely get it, because I'm just, this thing is pretty much is pure fan service material, with Fire Emblem Warriors, but I could definitely see why you want the main game. So again, it's very 50-50 for me. I get that you want this thing, but at the same time, we want this thing. Okay, we'll give you a Persona Squish game. Here. This is not what I want, Atlas. You're not that's parent child mentality, yeah.
Yeah. This game, it could be good too. I mean, I enjoyed Fire Emblem Warriors. I played it a lot. I liked it because it was Fire Emblem, but I did sink a stupid amount of hours into it, and that was me just loving Fire Emblem to an extreme. Mm-hmm. So people with who enjoy Persona games to that extreme, which Persona is a passionate fan base, they will enjoy this game. I'm sure it will play just fine. I mean, it's not something. I really don't enjoy the Dynasty Warriors formula. I didn't even like Hyrule Warriors. I've liked Fire Emblem Warriors purely because it was Fire Emblem.
I actually liked Hyrule Warriors because not just of the variety, but it was a really original story. And granted, Fire Emblem Warriors had the same thing, and I actually liked it. But I liked what they did with Hyrule Warriors. But again, we had the other games to fall back on, and sure, Japan can be happy with it because Japan has the original game, again, on PS4, but still, they're happy for it. Switch owners don't have that.
Right.
We already have two Musou games. We do not... Okay, we actually, I think we have more than that, but we don't need another one for a franchise we don't play. That does not work. All I can think about right now is that, you know, like that boardroom meeting meme?
Yes.
Where
yes,
it's like, yes. Okay, they want Persona on the Switch. What should we do? Ooh, let's make a Musou game. Ooh, let's put Joker in Smash Brothers. Why don't we actually just give them Persona 5 and then they throw them out the window? Because clearly,
yes.
That's a bad idea.
I really do hope it is because of that whole Sony exclusivity. Because again,
that's the only logical thing that I will allow. Because
I've not seen that anywhere. That would be reported if it was true.
Yeah, that
and
give it a few days because the announcement's still fresh.
And I mean, again, hopefully that's like eventually that like once like the exclusivity is expired, then we can finally have Persona on the Nintendo console. But right now, like, yeah, all we could just do is basically speculate. And right now, for me, like, yeah, as a Persona fan here, I just like, I'll definitely try it to see how it is. But we're going to, yeah, I definitely would like to see a new Persona game coming to the Switch. I mean, heck, if anything else, like, there are, like, yeah, this kind of goes on compliment on the subject, is because, like, apparently there have been some rumors as well that, again, this is just like, that Persona 3 and 4 may be coming to Switch because of this. So, I don't know. That's another rumor that's flying around right now. So,
and that would be cool if they did. But, again, then we'd still be missing Persona 5. And it's like, well, if we gave you the past games, that's fine. But that's what we asked for. Again. All right. Well, with that, we are going to reluctantly step away from our anger and end this podcast. Tyler, please reveal to us the poll question so we can have some lighter thoughts.
Yes. That's a great idea, Todd.
You don't have to pull up, don't you?
Okay.
And also, while you're pulling that up, is just, again, you two speak out of anger. Mine's kind of in a place of indifference.
Well, yeah, because again, you have the game. Agree. We don't. Yeah,
right. Okay, so our question was, do you think there should be an easy mode in all video games? And 8% of you said yes, 31% of you said no, 61% said depends on the game. Mm-hmm. And the shocking thing to me is that 100% of the people didn't say depends on the game. Like, depends on the game was such... 31% of the people just think every game should be obnoxiously hard or not have that accessibility. Like, that is mind-blowing to me.
Heck, we're a glutton for pain. Gamers can get through anything.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, depends on the game seemed like, you know, the choice there. But that's just one man's opinion.
Now, as we look to our next poll question, we are going to have light and happy thoughts. Nope, screw it! Back to anger! What did you think about the Persona 5 Scramble announcement? A, we were robbed. B, we were lied to. C, we were conned. D, I did not see that coming. Anger!
I did not see that coming. I am so tired of that.
Okay, what was that quote, Will? They played us like a fiddle?
Yeah. They played us like a damn fiddle.
They played us like a dang fiddle. Do that one. Anger, we are in full dark side mode. Okay, and this is perfect because Endgame and Game of Thrones are this weekend, and there's gonna be so much death and destruction that it perfectly suits it. Anger in the poll question. It put like angry emojis after the question just to show that we are not happy about this. Yeah, full stop anger. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the podcast. Light thoughts. What did you think about the announcements of Super Mario Maker 2? The information dump about Fire Emblem Three Houses. Are you going to sign up for the beta of Mario Kart Tour? Were you one of the people who bought Mortal Kombat 11? Are you happy that Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing are guaranteed for this year? What about Bayonetta not coming until next year? And what do you think about this Persona news? So, for Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. Why did we get Persona 5? And raise the flag.